I don't think there's a person on the planet who hasn't asked this question at some point in their life. What is my purpose? What is my purpose? Why am I here? Like, is this really what I'm supposed to be doing with my life? Is this where I'm supposed to be? And I think deep down inside all of us, there's something that just has this desire to know what our purpose is, that life has meaning, right? Whether you're a high school student or a college student who's just trying to figure out what to do with the rest of their life, you know, like no pressure there, right? Whether you're a single adult who's trying to figure out the dating game and relationships, or you're middle-aged with kids and maybe you're going through some kind of midlife crisis right now, or maybe you're a senior citizen and you're nearing retirement, or you're already retired and you're just trying to figure out how to spend those years. We all want to know what our purpose is. We all want our lives to have meaning. Now, purpose is defined as the reason for which something is created or for which something exists, right? A telephone's purpose is to communicate. That's its purpose. A telephone's purpose is to communicate. When Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone, it was to communicate from one person to another. An airplane's purpose is to fly, right? When the Wright brothers first invented the airplane, the goal was for that plane to take flight, to go off the ground. And if you were to try to make a phone call with an airplane or to fly on a telephone, well, my guess is that wouldn't go so well, right? Why? Because a telephone wasn't made to fly, and an airplane wasn't made to make a phone call and to communicate. That's not their purpose. That's not their purpose. And in the same way, whether you believe this or not, you were created with a purpose, a God-given purpose by your Creator. And I am convinced of this, so convinced of this, that the reason there are so many people struggling through this life, I mean, on the struggle bus, and I'll be honest with you, I'm one of them some days. I'm driving the bus some days. The reason there are so many people struggling is because they don't understand their purpose. They don't understand that the Creator of the universe has a plan and a purpose for their life. And as a result, there are a lot of people who are going through life without joy, without peace, who are filled with anxiety, who are going through this life with just so much anxiousness and turmoil inside of them. And I think it's because we do not understand what our purpose is. And so this week, we're starting a brand new series that I am so excited about that we're calling On Target, where for the next few weeks, we're just going to spend some time unpacking and talking about purpose and digging in to what the truth is about God's purpose for your life. And I think in understanding this, there could be life-changing implications for all of us if we would grab hold of the truth that God wants us to understand and that we're going to dig into here over the next couple of weeks. But you know, as we get started, can I just get real with you for just a second? Have you ever thought about what makes someone a success, right? I don't know about you, but I have had this intense desire in my life to be a success, to be successful, to achieve certain things, right? To do certain things. I want to leave a mark on the world. I want to make a difference. I want to be the best at everything that I do, right? I want to be a success. And as a result, I've had times in my life where the weight of that, where the pressure of that has been tremendous. And I have felt like I had to do certain things and be certain things in order to achieve success. But can I ask you this question? Who defines success? I mean, who tells us what success is? I think if you were to ask our culture, they would say, it would say that success is making more money, that success is power, that it's fame and fortune and glory, that it's more followers, it's more likes, it's a higher education, a higher position, it's successful kids, it's, you know, a rockin' body, it's the trophy wife, like, it's the trophy husband, it's success is all of those things. And if you don't achieve those things, then you're not really a success. And what they're actually saying when they say those things is that those things are your purpose. Those are the things you should be striving for. That's what you were created to do, to achieve those things. But here's what I have come to realize, and what I so badly want you to realize, and why we're going to be doing this series over the next couple of weeks. God's definition of success and cultures are very different. Your Heavenly Father has a different definition of success, and His definition will lead to so much more joy and fulfillment in your life than the world's or than the culture's definition of success. And yet, here's the struggle. Here's the tension that I find myself in. I am constantly being pulled by that culture. I'm constantly being pulled to try and achieve and try to be a success through that lens. When all along over here, God is beckoning me. He's beckoning you. He's calling us to see it from a new perspective, to see it from His lens and His vantage point. And that's why we're doing this series. And that is what I want so much for you. You see, my concern for myself and for all of you who are listening is that maybe we've been aiming at the wrong target our whole lives. Have you ever thought about that? Maybe we've been aiming at the wrong target, and the reason we can't figure out what our purpose is because we've been aiming at the wrong thing all along. There's a guy by the name of Matt Emmons. He was one of the world's best sharpshooters, and back in 2004, he was part of the Olympic Games, and he was one shot away from winning the gold medal at the Olympics. All he had to do, he had such a big lead that all he had to do was hit the target, anywhere on the target. It didn't even have to be a bullseye. And he had such a big lead that he was going to win the gold medal. And so, like he had done tens of thousands of times before, Matt Emmons took a deep breath. He put that target in his sights. He slowly squeezed the trigger and he put a bullet right through the bullseye. Yeah, gold medal, baby. Except for one thing. He looked up at the scoreboard, and what he saw was a big, fat zero. And at first he thought, it's got to be a mistake. Like, there's got to be something wrong with the scoreboard. I hit the bullseye. I made a perfect shot. But then his heart began to sink as he watched the official start to walk up to him. And the official looked at him and said, Matt, I have bad news. You hit the bullseye perfectly on that target. The only problem is you hit the wrong target. You were aiming at the wrong target, Matt. Your target was actually right in front of you here, and you aimed at the one that was two lanes over. And because of that, not only did Matt Emmons not win the gold medal, he didn't medal at all. And here's what I want you to hear today. Here's what I want you to understand and grab hold of as we get started. It doesn't matter if you hit the bullseye. If you're aiming at the wrong target, It doesn't matter if you hit the bullseye, if you're aiming at the wrong target. And what I don't want for you is I don't want you aiming your entire life at the wrong target, believing that that's your purpose, believing that that's what you need to do to be successful, only to find out at the end of your life that you were aiming at the wrong thing the entire time, that it was a complete waste of time. See, I don't know where you're at right now, where you're at in your life, you know, what you are dealing with, whether you are maybe just feeling totally lost and aimless in your life, and you've just been searching and trying to figure out what purpose God has for you, or if there's even a God out there at all. I don't know, maybe you, like me, are aiming at the wrong target. Like a lot of times, I'm just aiming at the wrong thing, thinking that that's what I need to do to be successful. Maybe you're like me, and you've become weary, right? You felt the pressure to do that, and it has sucked the joy out of living. It has caused you to be anxious and to be filled with worry. My prayer is that this series would help you to get on target. My prayer is that this series would help you begin to experience the peace and the freedom that comes with understanding our God-given purpose, and that it is not what we expect. It is not what the world or our culture is telling us it is. It is something different. It is something better. That's what I want for you, and that's what we're going to try to unpack here in this series. And so as we dive in, I want to begin by challenging you to kind of rethink what you know, what you believe about purpose. You see, when we say that we want purpose in our life, when we say that we want to know our purpose, right? What we're really saying is, I want to know what I'm supposed to do with my life, right? I mean, come on, let's be honest. That's what we really want to know. I want to know what I'm supposed to do. I want to know what job I'm supposed to be working in. I want to know who I'm supposed to marry. I want to know what I'm supposed to be doing to try to make a difference in the world. And there's not anything necessarily inherently wrong with that. The problem with that is we put the cart before the horse. And this is where I want to challenge your perspective today. That God cares so much more about who you are becoming than what you are doing. He cares so much more about your heart and your spirit and the person that you are becoming, the way that you are treating other people, the relationship that you have with him and others. He cares so much more about that than what you do. And yet, most of us, we spend so much of our life doing, trying to do more, trying to figure out what we're supposed to do. And all along, God is looking at us and he's saying, no. No, your purpose is to become who I created you to be. And this is who he wants us to be. This is the answer to the question of our purpose. Our number one purpose is to glorify God by becoming more like Christ. That is the number one thing. That is the most important thing. Becoming like Christ. That's the primary target that we are supposed to be aiming at each day. And here's what's so powerful about this. As we become more like Christ, as we become the who that God wants us to be, the do part will flow out of that. And I know that's what you really want. Like, you're looking at me right now and you're saying, Justin, I thought this was going to be a message series about you helping me figure out what I'm supposed to do with the rest of my life. Don't miss this. This is the start. This is the foundation. This is how you really, truly discover the do part of your purpose. It's first discovering the who God wants you to be, who he created you to be. And so here's kind of the question I want to unpack specifically this week. How do we do that? How do I become who God wants me to be? How do I become more like Christ? Well, if we want to become more like Christ, it is this simple. We have to spend time being with Christ. You see, I think for most of us, this is a really, really difficult concept. Learning how to simply be. Learning how to slow down and spend time, intimate time with Jesus might be like the hardest thing that we can do in this culture these days. Why? Because everything is just go, 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 go. Go a million miles an hour. We're so busy. We have so much on our plate. We don't have time to slow down. We don't have time to rest and be with Christ and allow him to pour into us so that we can become more like him. Why? Because we're too busy doing. And ironically, because we are so busy doing, trying to find our purpose and what we're supposed to do, we never experience just being and allowing Christ to change us and make us who he wants to be so that he can do in us and through us what he wants to do. And so I want to look at a passage of scripture today found in John chapter 15, starting in verse 1, that I believe might change your perspective about your purpose in this life. Let's read this together. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." And so first he says, he is the vine. Jesus is the vine. And he says, the true vine. In other words, there are counterfeit vines out there, but he is the truth. He is the true source of life. He is the true source of power. And he is the true source of purpose that you are looking for. Don't be fooled. Don't be duped by the counterfeit vines. He says, I am the true vine. And he goes on to say, we, you and I, human beings, his children, we are the branches. And our purpose as the branch is to connect to the vine. Why? So that we can bear fruit. Connecting to the vine is what will produce fruit. If we are not connected to the vine, there will be no fruit. In other words, if we want to do anything of value, if we want to produce anything good in this life, it starts with him, with connecting to him, with learning how to become more like him. Then he goes on to say this, he is the vine, we are the branches, and the Father is the gardener. And what does the gardener do? The gardener prunes. You see, in order for any tree to bear fruit, it must be pruned. You must cut out the dead things, the ugly things, the things that aren't good, so that the things that are can grow and be more fruitful. The more you prune a fruit tree, the more fruit it will actually produce. He is the vine, we are the branches, and the Father is the gardener, pruning us, pruning the branches to make us more fruitful. Then he goes on. He says, remain in me, as I also remain in you. He says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. That word remain, it means to stay, to not move. In other words, we are supposed to stay in the presence of Jesus, to stay connected to him, to the source of power and purpose for our life at all times. Because the second we move away, the second that branch gets disconnected from the vine, what happens? It begins to die. It begins to lose its source of nutrients and power, right? Jesus is saying, remain in me, stay in me. There's another word, abide. I love that word. To abide in Christ at all times is to stay connected to his power at all times. Here's the problem. For me, and I think probably for most of us, we are not good at staying, are we? No, we're on the go all the time. Go, 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 right? We fill our lives up with so much stuff. We are great at going and doing, whether it's work, you know, for our job, housework, stuff around the house, activities that we're filling up our lives with, our phones, just constantly being connected to those, right? We are not good at staying and remaining. We are good at going and doing. But this is what Jesus is trying to get us to see. If you want purpose, if you want to bear fruit, if you want to do good things, if you want to be successful in this life, you must remain in me. We must remain. We must slow down. We must create space to be in his presence and to allow him to fill us, to allow that vine to feed us what we need to be fed in order to be successful. The problem for you and for me is we don't do that. We don't take the time to do that. And so the majority of the time we are cut off from his power. He goes on to say this, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. He says, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. I love what he says here. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from the vine, apart from his power, from the source of his power, we can do nothing. We will bear no fruit. We will do nothing good. The fruit that we produce will be for nothing if we are not connected to him. Our purpose, right? If our purpose is to become more like Christ, if that's our purpose, then we must stay connected to the source of becoming like Christ, Christ himself. And it's not for ourselves. And this is such a key distinction. It's for the kingdom so that we can produce good fruit for the kingdom. This is your primary purpose. Finally, he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is so powerful. As we remain in him, we become more like him, desiring his purpose for our lives. And in so, our doing will become more fruitful and it will bring him more glory. He will help us aim at the right target to produce fruit that matters for his kingdom and glory. That's what staying connected to the vine is all about. This is your primary purpose in life. And I know what some of you are thinking right now. Like, that's it? Like, come on. No, there's got to be more. There's got to be more I'm supposed to be doing, right? I mean, didn't Jesus challenge us to do some stuff in this life? Yeah, he absolutely did. But we will never do it well until we abide in him, until we remain in him, until our primary focus, our primary target that we are aiming at is becoming more like him. All of the doing will be for nothing because we will be disconnected from his power as we do it. And so I want to challenge you this week to do two things with me. I want to challenge you, first of all, to rethink your definition of success. This is vitally important. Rethink your definition of success. I don't know about you, but I have felt the pressure to do more, to be successful, to accomplish something. And I have fallen into the trap of looking at what everyone else around me is doing and accomplishing and feeling like I have to do the same thing. And if I'm not a success. If I'm not building a church that has hundreds of people or thousands of people in it, well, then I'm not as successful as the church down the street that is. If I'm not achieving, you know, state championships and district championships in my coaching as a coach, well, then I'm not a success, right? If I'm not putting a certain amount of money in my bank account, if I haven't climbed to a certain level in the corporate ladder, then I'm not a success. If I haven't gotten married yet and I'm in my 30s, I'm not a success. And I could just go on and on and on with the lies about what success actually is, right? That is the lie from Satan that he wants you to buy into and believe, that all of those things are what will make you successful. I feel this even as a pastor in the church world. It's a struggle. There's a pull going on. But here's what you need to hear today. God has a different definition of success. And success to him is looking more like Jesus every day, becoming more like Christ every single day, and producing kingdom fruits, right? There's a passage of scripture found in Galatians chapter 5. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruits of someone who is connected to the vine, who is connected to the Spirit of God. And those are the things that God says make you a success. When you are loving, when you are joyful, when you are a person who brings peace, when you are a person who is patient and kind and faithful and gentle and who exercises self-control. That is what God is looking for in your life above all else. Those are the kingdom fruits that he desires for you to be living out. And if you are doing those things, God says you are a success regardless of what the world says. Redefine your definition of success today. And I promise you this, you will feel a weight lifted off of you as you stop striving and working so hard, aiming at a target that when you get to the end of your life isn't going to matter or mean a thing. Redefine your definition of success. But then second of all, slow down. Slow down. This is such a hard thing for me. And again, I don't think I'm the only one. We have such a difficult time slowing down in this culture, right? Why? Because our culture says the more busy you are, the more you accomplish, the more you achieve, the more successful you are. So don't take time to slow down. Don't take time to take a break from what you're doing to rest and abide in Christ, to remain in Christ. No, just keep going as fast as you possibly can. Again, that's a lie from Satan. Your Heavenly Father says, it's okay. Not only is it okay to slow down, it is good for you to slow down, and you must slow down. Why? So that you can remain in the vine. That is the only way to remain in the vine, is to slow down and to stay connected to him. And so I want to challenge you this week, take a walk in the woods, just you and God. Spend some time listening to worship music, and not while you're multitasking and doing five different things, but just listening and worshiping God, spending time in his presence. Would you spend time this week reading his word, abiding in his word, remaining in his word? And would you do this? And this is going to be a huge challenge for some of us. I have such a difficult time doing this. Would you take a Sabbath day this week? This word Sabbath, it means to rest in God. It means to take a rest day. We don't do this anymore. There was a time when this was a command to the Israelite people, to God's chosen people, that they were commanded to take a day of rest. Just like the Lord rested on the seventh day after he was done creating everything. What we need, what God knows that we need, is a day to just slow down. if you are not taking a Sabbath, a day where you are not working, where you are not consumed with the pressures and the stresses of your job and housework, and you are missing out on one of the most beautiful gifts that God is offering to us. He's saying it's okay to take a day off. It's okay to not work yourself to the bone. It's okay to just remain and abide in me. Why? Because as you do that, it is going to give you the power and the strength that you need for the rest of the week, for the next week, for the week to come. And so many of us, we just don't do it. We don't take the time to do it. And we wonder why we're stressed and we're anxious and we're worried all the time and we're burned out on life. It's because we're not taking that Sabbath. We are not resting. We are not slowing down. And it's not popular in the culture that we live in. And at the end of the day, if we don't do it, we're going to be probably looked at. Like, I think about the world we live in. The people who work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, it's almost like they're glorified. But that is not what your Heavenly Father looks at and says is success. He says, take a day. Slow down, rest, and abide in me. Your primary purpose is to become more like Jesus Christ, to become who he wants you to be. And this is what we're going to get into in the following weeks. This is the foundation. As we do that, as we slow down, as we redefine success, as we connect ourselves to the vine and remain in him, he will begin to show us and work in us and do in us the things that will actually make us a success. There are some things that our Heavenly Father, that Jesus Christ challenges us to do in this life, but we won't be able to do them until we remain in him first. This is the target that I want to challenge you to aim at, not just this week, but for all time. For the rest of your life, would you begin to redefine success and to slow down and to make your purpose abiding and remaining in him and becoming more like him? I promise you, it is a better way. It might not be what you expected to hear today. It might not be what you wanted to hear. You may have come here wanting to hear all of the ways that you're going to be able to figure out God's will for your life and that silver bullet answer for figuring that out. But I promise you this, it is a better way. This is a better way to go through your life. And so I don't know, you know, where you're at with God. I don't know what you believe about Jesus, and I don't know if you've struggled with finding your purpose. Maybe you've searched and you've searched and you've come up empty. Maybe you don't know it, but Jesus Christ is the answer. If you are his follower, remaining in him and abiding in him is the answer to your purpose, to everything that you are going to do the rest of your life. And if you are not a Jesus follower and you've never been able to put your faith in him because you just weren't sure, can I challenge you today? Make your first step to just put your faith and your trust in him. To begin to remain in him and watch as he brings a joy and a freedom to your life like you have never experienced.